Hallelujah. Why don't we stand together? And if that's how your heart feels, would you just express it with a clapped hand and a raised voice? Hallelujah, Lord, we confess that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and your presence is in this sanctuary. We magnify you today. We exalt you and we lift you up, O great God. You're worthy of all of our praise. Praise God. And there is coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The point is that whether you bow here or you bow there, every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. But you're going to feel a whole lot different about bowing there if you take time to bow here and say, Lord, you are the Lord of all. You're the Lord of my life. You're my Savior, my Redeemer, my hope. Oh, let's worship Him one more time together. Lord, we magnify you. We lift you up. You're King of Kings and you're Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reading from the New King James, and I'll be beginning with verse number 11. And let me say here this morning that if you are uncertain whether you've bowed your knee to the Lord according to the pattern laid out in Scripture, if you have never repented of your sins, if you've never given yourself wholly to Him, to receiving the gift of His Spirit, to being baptized in His name, to have all of your sins washed away, you can receive that experience today. It's for every believer. It's for whosoever will. And God can fill anybody and everybody with the gift of the Holy Ghost today. Do you believe that with me? Praise God. Anybody can receive it today. Anybody can receive forgiveness. His presence is here to do those things. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, Paul writes, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. Look at your neighbor and say, aliens. I didn't say call them an alien. He said, you were all aliens. In fact, why don't we just do that? Look at them, say, we're all aliens. Every one of us. He said, you're all aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers. Everybody say strangers. He said, you're aliens, you're strangers from the covenant of promise, or the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, you were a long way, you had a ways to go, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were afar off have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. Is there anybody that's thankful for that precious blood that was shed at Calvary? Hallelujah. We worship you. Why don't we just take a moment and thank Him for that blood? Lord, we thank you for your precious blood that was shed for our forgiveness, for our redemption. Apply that blood here today in Jesus' name. I want to preach to you just simply this thought. Blood built the bridge. Blood built the bridge. You can be seated in Jesus' name. The writer of Ephesians is writing to a church located in the city of Ephesus, an incredibly ungodly place. It was the seat of every type of debauchery and sin imaginable. It was at Ephesus that there was erected a beautiful temple to a false god, Artemis. We learn that, of course, we know it probably more by the familiar term, the Temple of Diana. That's what the Romans called her. But it was an incredibly beautiful, elaborate temple. It was made almost entirely of marble. It was, in fact, one of the ancient seven wonders of the world, this temple that was in Ephesus. The base of the temple alone, just the footprint of the temple, was 425 feet by 225 feet, much bigger than the footprint of this entire complex, the building that we're in. It had 14 giant steps that led up into the temple, 127 columns that led, that held the roof of that temple up. These columns reached 60 feet tall, much taller than we even have here, usable space in our auditorium today. 36 of those columns were carved with ornate carvings, and with intricate detail they were carved, and they had representations of false gods and false theologies. It was in this temple where the false gods were worshipped. Inside this temple there was this large statue of the goddess Diana, believed to have fallen from heaven and been given as a gift from the gods to the people. It was a large statue. It was reflective of a mummy type figure, a woman, a mummy type figure, which represented what they believed was the fertility god. It was this house of pagan worship and pagan worship that was so prevalent in their society. The pagan worship was so prevalent in the city of Ephesus that it actually is what drove the economy in Ephesus. The economy in Ephesus was held up by the pagan gods that they worship, which, just as a side note, you can tell what society worships by following the economy. There were magical and mystical, they believed, powers in this temple and surrounding this goddess Diana. There were magical and mystical words that were carved into that statue. There were phrases and words that they believed had the power to work miracles and wonders in their lives. It was these phrases and these carvings that were in this statue and on this statue that led to something that was called the Ephesian letters. And this was words and characters believed to have power in their life. They would use these Ephesian letters in incantations and in spells and in all types of sorcery and chants and in casting spells. It was a city of astrology. It was a city filled with magic. It was a city that was filled with sorcery. And the citizens of that city would live in great fear if they were ever to oppose the gods of Ephesus or the goddess Diana. Just past that shrine, just past the temple of Diana, was the treasury of all of Asia. It was the bank of the known world, if you will. And just past that, there was the largest of all of the Greek theaters at that time, seating, historians believe that it would seat over 50,000 people. Just past that was a stadium that there would be wild beast fights that would be held there to entertain the citizens of that ungodly city, Ephesus. And so it's in this set, it's in this city that Paul writes this letter. He writes to these believers that have been called out of this deep darkness, that have been called out of this terrible ungodliness and all of these pagan rituals and these pagan gods. And he writes this in Ephesians chapter 2, and he's letting them know, you were far off. You were far away from God. You were far removed from anything of the goodness of God in your life. I think it's good once in a while to remember how far we were when God saved us. Let me say it again. We were far off when God found us. We were afar off, just like they were when God saved us. He says to them, you were aliens. You were outsiders. You were strangers from the covenants of the promise. In other words, you had no access to the promise, and God had no responsibility to give you access. You made no move towards God, and God had made no move in response to any effort that you had made. He said in that chapter, he said, you were hopeless. Think about it. The worst of all conditions you could be in is to be hopeless. And they were living in hopelessness. They were without God. We know how great God is. We know he's wonderful. He's counselor. He's mighty God. Everlasting Father. We know him to be our Prince of Peace. He's our Redeemer, our Healer, and our Savior. But Paul says to them, you were without hope. You didn't know God. You were without God. Can you imagine being without God? Anybody think back to when maybe you were without God? No peace, no hope, no help, no love. No comfort in trial. No redemption being offered. And then he says it like this. He says, you were without God in this world. Interesting choice of words, I think. He says, you weren't just without God, but you were without God in the world. If it was possible to be without God in heaven, you'd at least have streets of gold and the angels. But he said, you are without God in this world. If it was possible to be without God in the church, you'd still have one another. You'd have the community of believers. But he said, you are without God in the world, in this place that was dark, in this place that was lonely, in the most desperate of places. You are without God in the world. He's painting the picture to remind them of where God had brought them from. Can I preach to you this morning and tell you that the story of the Ephesians is really the story of all humanity, that the story of Ephesus is really each of our story here today, that we were afar off from God, we were undone, we were strangers from the covenants of promise, we were outside looking in, we didn't have comfort, and we didn't have hope. These people had a past that was filled with idolatry, and filled with ungodly activity, filled with wicked behavior and dedication to false gods. But he said, but now in Christ Jesus, you have been brought near. How were you brought near? You were brought near by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, it was the shed blood of Jesus that built a bridge from where you were and to where you found God. It was the shed blood of Jesus that brought you from afar off into relationship with him. Can I just say again, I thank God for his blood. We celebrate his blood. We thank him for his blood that is applied to our lives. I don't care who you are, where you come from. If you found God, it was because you crossed a bridge that was built by the blood of Jesus. Or if you're going to find God, you're going to have to cross the bridge that was built by the shed blood of Jesus. That's why 1 Peter says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hebrews 10 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness, enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I've come to preach to somebody that just like the Ephesians, we were far away. But I've come to remind you that we've been brought near by the blood. And I've come to preach to somebody else that you may still be far away, or you may have strayed far away, but you can be brought back by the same bridge that was built by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody clap your hands and thank him for his blood. I feel his presence and the effect of that blood. Hallelujah. It's a simple message this morning. There was a chasm. There was a gulf. There was a gap between you and God. And there was no way that you could cross. But the bridge that was built by blood, it crossed that valley. It can cross any past. It can cross any mistakes. It can span any failures. That bridge that blood built, it can cross any of your hurt or your pain or your separation. And the blood of Jesus will bring you to the work of Calvary. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. If man could do it, if we could find our own way to God, we would. If we could buy our way, we'd work. We'd get together the money. We'd try to pay the price, but we can't buy our way. You can't pay your way across that bridge with money. You can't work your way to it. If you could work your way to it, we'd work all hours of the day and night trying to get across that bridge to where we are to where he is. But you can't work your way to it. You cannot get there on your own. Nothing you can do in and of yourself will span that gap. Nothing you can do in and of yourself will span that chasm. But when we finally get to heaven one day, when we finally walk on those streets of gold one day, Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, you're not going to overcome because of your comprehension of detailed theological concepts. You're not going to overcome because you've lived absolutely the best that you could in and of yourself. You're not going to overcome because you are purer than your neighbor, because you live better than the person sitting next to you. You're not going to overcome just because you kept a list of do's and don'ts, but you're going to overcome because you took a walk across a bridge that was built by the blood of Jesus. Oh, I thank God for his blood. Man started in the garden trying to cover their own shame and his own mistakes. They tried to cover their own shame and tried to cover their own nakedness. But can I tell you, it never works. It never works. You cannot fix the mess of your past. You cannot cover the shame of your life in and of yourselves. But it's by the shed blood of Jesus. If you're going to make it, you're going to walk across a bridge built by blood. It's going to be his blood that will get you there. And that day, when we finally get there, that day when we finally walk in glory land, that day, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When we get over there, we're going to join all of the ones that have gone on before us. We're going to join the saints of old. We're going to join the saints that have recently passed on to their reward. Faithful saints. We're going to join with every martyr that's died in the faith, standing on the name of Jesus. The crowd, the throng will gather there. And as we cast our crowns at his feet, we sang about it in the song today. Every crown I'll ever wear, I'll lay it down. When we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, with the apostles, with Simon Peter, and with Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and with the great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when we gather up there, we're going to have a testimony service of all testimony services. How did you overcome? We overcame by the blood of the Lamb. How did you get here? We walked across the bridge that was built by blood. How did you make it from afar off into his presence? We walked across the bridge that was built with and paved by the blood of Jesus. Oh, somebody clap your hands and give him a voice of praise. Thank him for that blood. Oh, let's worship him for just a minute. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. What a testimony service that'll be. How did you overcome the odds in your culture? How did you overcome the odds in 2017? The same way they overcame in the church at Ephesus, by the blood of the Lamb. We were afar off, but we crossed a bridge that was built by blood. I feel the work of that blood. I feel the effect of that blood today. I feel the power. Anybody feel the power of that blood today? It was in 1772, after a terrible bout of depression that lasted many, many years and 3 failed attempts at suicide, a man by the name of William Cowper recovered and he penned the words to the song, "There is a fountain filled with blood." We don't sing it anymore. Yeah, I know it's an older hymn and we do sing songs about the blood. I thank God for that. We're not omitting the blood from our preaching or our singing or our worship because we know without the blood, we got a bridge to nowhere. Without the blood, we're not getting anywhere close to God. It's got to be by the blood of Jesus. But And after that bout of depression, and after 3 failed suicide attempts, he penned these words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. I know sometimes in a course you repeat it a little bit, but I just kind of wonder, after years of depression and trying to take his own life, if he wasn't emphasizing that for his own sake. Lose all their guilty stains. Why, the blood that was drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stains. I'm preaching to somebody today that if you're gonna make it, it's gonna be by the blood. If you wanna make it, it's gonna be by the blood. What's the difference between you and I and the murderer on death row? What's the difference between you and I and the worst convict in the state penitentiary? What's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. It's not that you clean up better on Sunday. Nope. It's not that I've just had better opportunities in my life than he did. Nope. It's not the neighborhood we were raised in. It's not the family last name. No, 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 no. The only difference is that the blood has been applied. I said the blood has been applied. We've crossed across a bridge built by blood. And but for the grace of God, that could be us. Anybody realize that you're not where you once were? Anybody realize that you're not where you could be? I know I'm preaching to first generation believers. I know I'm preaching to second, third, and fourth generation believers. For the first generation believers, you know where you could have been, because that's where God brought you from. But to the multi-generation believers that you cut your teeth on a pew in church, let me tell you, think back to where you could have been had there been no Holy Ghost bloodline in your family tree. Why don't you let your mind wander for a minute this morning and think about where you could be on this Sunday morning if there was no blood applied, if your granddad or your grandmama didn't cross that bridge built by blood. Oh, I thank God for his precious blood, and we're only gonna make it by that blood. My hope is in that blood. Our help is in that blood. Oh, I'm preaching about the blood that's able to heal every body. I'm preaching about the blood that's able to heal every plagued mind, every wounded spirit. The blood that's ever be able to break every power of addiction in your life. There is nothing like the blood and the shed blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. It's not your own efforts. It's not your own ability. Church is trying to take the blood out. They're trying to drain the blood out of the message. The Lord said, you don't drain the blood out of the church. You drain the blood out of the sacrifice, and you apply it to your life. We're not draining the blood out. We're not replacing the blood with other things. Pastor, one of the largest churches in America, read excerpts from one of his books. I won't say his name. You can figure it out. Read excerpts from one of his books about living a great life. And I was disgusted when I read that all you got to do is speak your way and think your way to a better life. I've got news for you. You can speak till your tongue falls out on the floor. And you can think till your head hurts. And if you don't cross the bridge built by blood, you're never gonna get the life that God has for you. You can't live your best life now unless you cross a bridge that is built by blood. What are you saying, Brother Levine? I'm preaching that if you need forgiveness, blood built a bridge for that. If you need hope today, blood built a bridge for that. If you've strayed away from God, if you've lost your way, blood built a bridge for that. If you feel like you're forsaken and forgotten, the blood of Jesus built a bridge for that. If you feel like you're drowning in failures and discouragement, I'm preaching that blood built a bridge for that. If you're depressed or oppressed, I declare that blood built a bridge that'll take you from where you are into a renewing in His presence. If you're struggling, blood built a bridge for that. If your marriage is in trouble, blood built a bridge for that. If you've got broken relationships, blood built a bridge to mend those relationships. If your finances are in a mess, I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus can revolutionize a life. If you're in despair, there's a blood built bridge that can get you from where you are to where He wants you to be. If you're covered in bitterness, if you're filled with shame, blood built a bridge for that. He'll take you from where you are into where He wants you to be. If you're praying for a wayward child, can I declare to you that blood built a bridge that they're going to walk on one day back into His presence? Blood built a bridge for that. If your heart is hardened, I'm telling you, you can take a step on that bridge that was built by blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and that hardened heart can be softened today. If you're dealing with a bad doctor's report, or maybe you're dealing with a job situation or lost your job, I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus built a bridge to bring you from where you are to where He wants you to be. If you're confused, broken, whatever you need, there's a bridge built by blood that can take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. If you believe that, you ought to clap your hands. You ought to lift your voice. You ought to raise your hands. You ought to thank Him for His blood. Oh, come on, clap your hands and just worship Him for just a moment. Lord, we praise You. We have victory today because of His blood. We have victory today because Christ paid it all. They found that bridge. They found that bridge. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, if you back up, you want to know how they found it? Go to verse 1 of that same chapter, and it begins to explain it. And you, He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You ought to just receive this verse like the author was writing it to you and writing it to me, because it applies, doesn't it? In which once you walked according to the course of the world, of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we, the Bible says, conducted ourselves. At one time, we conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, of our own flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. In other words, their life was a mess and undone without God. But thank God it doesn't stop at verse 3, but it picks up in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. For by grace have you been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness in us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him that we should walk in them. He was saying, you're afar off, but it was by the mercy of God, by the love of God, by the grace of God that brought us into relationship with Him. In other words, blood built the bridge to bring us from where we were into His presence. Revelation said He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, it was a part of God's blueprint before time ever even began, that there would be blood that would be shed for our sins. It's simple. It's easy. It's not complex or hard to understand. Sin separated man from his Creator. Sin separated creation from Creator. It was more than just the separation of man and God. separation of man and himself. Separation of the man God created and the man sin had now tainted. Sin brought separation. It happened in the garden. There are people here today who you're not just struggling with separation from God, but there's people in this room right now that you're separated from who God wants you to be. Your distance from where God wants you to be. Your distance from God's best for you. What He created you to be. And so in the garden, innocent animals were killed. It says skins. The plural, there were multiple animals. I don't know how many, but multiple animals were killed. And their skins were used as a covering of the nakedness of Adam and Eve. It was in the beginning at the garden. At the very first sin, at the very first separation, that the principle of substitution was introduced, where God said, I will accept the life of the innocent for the sins of the guilty. And that crimson stream we sing about, it began all the way back at the garden. And for thousands of years of animal sacrifices, it still wasn't enough. He established that without the shedding of blood, according to Hebrews 9, there is no remission of sins. But then after centuries of animal sacrifices, Hebrews tells us in chapter 10 that it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away the sins of humanity. But when Jesus Christ came, He was the master sacrifice once and for all. He not only became the sacrifice, but He made the sacrifice and He received the sacrifice. He offered one sacrifice for all sins, for all time. What was He doing? He was building a bridge with His own shed blood. That now there had to be no more bloodshed. Now there had to be no more animal sacrifices. But we could access His forgiveness. We could access His mercy. We could access the work of Calvary by applying His blood to our lives. His blood is available and it's accessible here today. It's here when we understand that blood built the bridge. You can cross the bridge built by His blood. And when you cross that bridge, eternity is changed. Sinful habits are destroyed. Sickness has to leave. Depression must lift. Life's storms must be calmed and silenced. And ultimately death is defeated when we cross the bridge that was built by His blood. I'm preaching to somebody today that it was the work of Calvary. It was the work of the cross that built the greatest bridge of all time and purchased salvation for all humankind. And that work of that blood is still effective today. It's available today. It works today. I was studying for this message, and I thought, well, the thought on the bridge occurred to me, and I started looking up all these bridges, the longest bridge in the world, the tallest bridge in the world, the bridge with the longest span unsupported. All of these bridges, and I found pretty quickly there's debate about who has the longest bridge and based on how it was built and the span of the bridge and how you measure it, and there's much debate. And it just occurred to me, who cares? Who cares? China says they've got the longest bridge, and country in the Middle East says they've got the longest bridge, and one point, Americans said we had the longest bridge without a support, the longest span unsupported. Who cares? Because the greatest bridge ever built wasn't with concrete, steel, rivets. It wasn't out of wood. It wasn't meant to carry cars or trains. No. The greatest bridge ever built was a bridge that was created when He stretched His arms wide at Calvary. And with that arm stretched wide, He spanned the gap from where we were to where He was going to take us. From where we once were undone unto being in His presence and having access to the mercy seat. I thank God for His blood. Would you stand together with me?
in Egypt, as God's people were in bondage. It was in Egypt that God said, I'm going to make a way to deliver you. And he told them to do this. He said, I want you to kill a lamb. I want you to cut its throat. I want you to drain the blood. Save the blood. Apply the blood. And have faith in the blood. You can't just have a lamb in your house. You can't just know about the blood. You can't just hear about the blood. You can't just know a good song that cheers you up on a down day about the blood. But if you're going to have access, if you're going to walk across that bridge, you've got to apply the blood to your life. You've got to appropriate it to your life. I thank God for the clear, concise message of the gospel. I thank God for the clear message of application of that blood that was preached by Simon Peter. Volumes of books have been written on the application of that blood, and we could spend weeks of study, but let me summarize it the way the apostle summarized it. He said, you repent of your sins and be buried with him in waters of baptism and receive the infilling of his spirit. That's how you apply the blood to your life. That's how you receive the work of that blood. That's how you cross that bridge, the bridge built by blood. I want you to lift your hands and your voice right now. Would you lift your hands and your voice right now, all across this room? We've got time to pray, and God is calling us to prayer for twofold. For one, there are those that just need to remember where God brought you from and give him thanks for where he brought you from. And there are others that need the blood applied fresh and new to your life. There's some that have strayed from God, perhaps. Maybe some that have never found God or experienced the gift of his forgiveness and his spirit. And you can have that blood applied. And so right now, as we're responding to God, I want you just to imagine with me that as this altar is open, that at the edge of every aisle, there begins a bridge built by the blood of Jesus. And as you step out of that aisle, as you step out of your pew and walk down that aisle to this altar, you're essentially crossing a bridge that was built by blood. I want you just to think about it. At the end of every row, the beginning of a bridge paved with blood, built with his shed blood. Would you take a walk with me this morning? Would you step out of where you're at and join us down here for a time of prayer? God wants to forgive somebody. He wants to renew somebody. He wants to hear the voice of thanksgiving from someone's spirit as you say, Lord, I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your blood. Oh, that's it. Would you fill this altar and just lift your voice? Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus' blood.